This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-215-0465. That's 800-215-0465.
The Buck Sexton Show.
And we are joined now by the one and only Matt Walsh. He is, of course, a Blaze contributor. You can read his latest on theblaze.com. He's also the author, creator of the Matt Walsh blog. Matt, thank you for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we got a couple pieces wanted to ask you about. Let's start with check your privilege, liberal women. What's going on here? Azalea Banks and you have had a little back and forth.
Oh, that's an old school one. You're going way back in time.
I'm sorry, Matt. That got into my feed here. Matt's latest piece is Christians We're at War. It's time to start acting like it. Let's talk about that one, which is from this week, not a year ago. Pardon me, Matt. Let's go. Christians We're at War. Why?
I'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Sure. Well, that was something I wrote earlier this week. You know, I think it's important for Christians that there's this kind of trend in Christianity lately that we kind of want to look at religion and look at our faith as this very sort of nice and welcoming thing, which of course it is supposed to be welcoming, but at the same time we have to realize that there's actual warfare going on all around us. That we can see physically, we can see the results of it, but it's also going on spiritually. This is what we believe as Christians. And so what I talk about in the piece is just, in my opinion, you know, you walk into a church, for instance, it should feel like you're walking into a fort, you know, a fortress on a battlefield, because that's essentially what you're doing. And I think we've kind of lost that. We've lost that warrior mentality, and we can see the fruits of that in the culture, that, you know, Christians are or true Christianity is obviously diminishing. You know, I think because we've lost the will and that fire and that passion to fight, because I think part of that is we don't think that we're allowed to think of things in those terms. We think that we're supposed to be the friendly and polite ones, but no, really, we're supposed to, you know, be warriors for truth.
And what would that entail? I mean, when you talk about being a warrior, you mean a willingness to speak up, to take the heat, to sort of just live your faith every minute of every day to the best of your ability, even if it means people say you're a bigot or you're a fanatic or you're, I mean, especially these days, I've been telling people for a while, and I'm guessing you have a similar sense of it, although I don't want to speak for you. And you could certainly tell us in a second if you agree. But the same way that they are still sort of hunting down the heretics from the gay marriage wars, if you will, but a year ago when it was finally decided, and there's still people being punished for their opposition to that, and there are websites that publish who donated to Prop 8 and who opposed Prop 8 and such in California. They want to make the transgender agenda similar to that as well. Meaning that if you have any questions about this, if you want to talk about whether this is a form of mental illness and not actually something we should celebrate, you might lose your job. You might lose business. You might be sort of shouted down and actually ostracized from the public square. I think that's where that's going.
Yeah, and that's we don't want that to happen to ourselves, but we have to be willing to undergo those kinds of trials and tribulations and to make sacrifices. Of course, it's easy to say all this stuff. I'm not saying it because I think I'm perfect in that regard, that I'm some perfect soldier for Christ myself. But this is just, I'm just repeating what's basically in the Bible. And we also have to keep in mind that, you know, what's required of us can change depending on the circumstance. So obviously, if you want to be a Christian in the Middle East right now as we speak, that means that you might get marched out into a desert and beheaded. And that's what, if you're a Christian in the Middle East, in many parts of the Middle East, that's what you have to be open to that possibility if you want to actually stick with your beliefs. And by comparison, what we're going through here is minor. I mean, it's minor in comparison. Nobody's being killed for it here. The most that will happen is that you sacrifice a little bit of your reputation. Worst possible case is that you sacrifice money, which of course is no small thing, but it's not as bad as losing your life. And I think it's interesting that you know, the parts of the world where being a Christian can get you literally killed, Middle East, some parts of Africa, you know, the parts of the world where it's a very physically dire situation for Christians, that's where often the faith happens to be the strongest. And here, it's not the same thing. It's just, it's a much more, you know, the assault on Christianity is much more understated. It's more passive in some ways. It's not a physical assault in a lot of ways. Yet, it's been much more effective in that, you know, even though our lives are not at stake, people are still abandoning their faith. So it
reminds me of my parents telling me stories from a priest who was visiting last summer. My parents are upstate, a couple of hours north of New York, and he's a Nigerian priest who was visiting the parish, this very small parish, telling stories about how every single day when, as a Catholic priest, he gathers with his congregation in Nigeria, there's the very real threat of a suicide bomber coming into the church and trying to blow up everybody inside the church. It changes your sense of your faith very quickly when you're under that sort of threat, as you point out. In this country, it's different, obviously. You're talking more about the social pressures and the sort of the media narrative surrounding people who are trying to be actual Christians, I think, is a fair point to make. You know, if Salon, Matt, or The Nation, or one of those leftist sites were to, you know, engage in this discussion that we're having right now, or if they were to overhear it and, you know, decide that they would spend their time writing about it, I'm sure what they'd say is, oh, whiny Christians, you're, you know, 80% or whatever the, you know, whatever the demographics say now, you're 80% of America. It's so hard for you. And what I always think is interesting is that number is largely people who are sort of culturally or nominally Christian in some capacity. I think for a lot of people, Christianity has become more of just sort of a general identity than it is actually a faith and a means of living your life. And the best example I can point to are Catholics who are prominent Catholics in prominent politicians who are Catholics who are adamantly pro-choice, pro-abortion, and Catholics don't seem to care. And I'm just like, how are you a Catholic and not care? I'm a Catholic, so that's what I can speak to, but I just don't get it.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, if we actually had the warrior mentality, and if our church leaders did, then, and I'm Catholic as well, so that's what bothers me also, is that, you know, the next time Nancy Pelosi attends, you know, the one of the three or four times she maybe attends a mass every year when there are cameras present, the presiding pastor, bishop, should get up at the pulpit and announce to everyone in front of her that she is excommunicated and that she cannot receive communion and she's not a part of the church. And here's why, and lay it all out, rebuke her publicly, humiliate her in public in front of everybody. That's what needs to happen, because this is war. And this is a woman that is, you know, among many, who is causing great scandal in the church, because she's a Catholic. She's a Christian who is representing the faith as you know, as being something that is accepting of, you know, child murder, among many other evils. I mean, not only is she endorsing evil along with a lot of other Christians, but this is the worst danger, that these people drag others away from the faith because they misrepresent it and they cause scandal. So if we, you know, if we actually had a warrior mentality, and if our church leaders did, that's what they'd be doing. It's not nice. It's not fun. It's certainly not polite. But there are souls at stake. And I'll tell you something, if you go to Africa, churches in Africa, that's the kind of thing you probably see happen. You know, you're not going to be able to, as a politician in many places in Africa, stand up and say, hey, the church actually thinks that abortion is okay. They just don't want to tell you. If you say that, you're going to be publicly rebuked in front of everybody. And that's the way it needs to happen, because this is warfare. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, liberals will listen to a conversation like this and say, oh, you're whining, you know, people aren't being killed over here, maybe in the Middle East. That's one of the dangers of it, because, yeah, we're not being killed, but what we don't physically see are all of the souls that are being lost. You know, we don't see that part of it, but I don't know this to be the case, but I would venture a guess that many more Christians are losing their souls in America than there are Christians losing their souls probably in any other part of the world.
You know, one thing that I always feel like doesn't get as much attention as it should in these discussions, you know, there's a widespread awareness now. The way I would put it is, no serious person can ignore or pretend that it's not the fact that progressives have completely infiltrated and largely taken over college campuses and the universities, and the Department of Education and public schools are reflective of a progressive statist mentality, and that's largely across the country, although it varies depending on where you are in the country. What you don't hear is the infiltration of sort of traditional Christian churches, the Catholic Church among them, and in some ways first and foremost, with social justice warrior mentality, with this sort of leftist, Marxist, Catholic worker stuff that you see popping up, which replaces doctrine, especially in the context of how Catholics should live their lives, with this sort of inclusiveness mentality of, well, I mean, we don't want anyone to feel excluded. It's like, well, no, if you're actually a believing Catholic, you know, some things are not okay. And that seems to have been lost. And I think part of it is because there has been an infiltration of the churches by individuals who hold this mentality and are spreading it from within.
Absolutely. And you'll notice that if you read the scripture, the word tolerance, for instance, I'm not going to say it's not in there at all in any context. It doesn't appear very often. And it's certainly never put forward as an absolute commandment or as a moral principle that we're supposed to just tolerate everything. Acceptance, I don't believe, appears in the Bible, and it certainly does not appear as a moral command that we're supposed to accept everything. But these are the new morals that, as you say, are obviously promoted by the schools and by liberals in the culture, but also by the churches. And what do you end up with? I mean, I was just reading with great horror, an article in some British newspaper about the new thing are men who dress up as dogs who live as – they did a documentary about it. And so now you have men dressing up in rubber dog suits and sleeping in dog crates and, you know, crawling around on all fours and chewing on chew toys. And this is just the next step. You know, they're trans canine, transgender, whatever. This is the next step. This is just the fruits that fall from the tree of tolerance because, you know, we say, well, they're not hurting anyone. They're having fun. So we're supposed to just accept it. We certainly can't denigrate it or laugh at it or dismiss it or anything like that. And this is what happens when you put tolerance up as this great commandment. So the only real solution to that is just to chop down the tree of tolerance entirely and realize that, you know, we're not called as Christians or as reasonable, common sense human beings to be tolerant and accepting of everything. You know, we're called to be discerning and even, yes, God forbid, judgmental in certain circumstances.
Yeah, the only thing that's unacceptable, it seems, is truth. Everything else is accepted. And once you abandon truth, that kind of makes sense. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Before we go into the break, Matt, I just want to ask you, based on your piece that we're talking about here today, it seems like you're saying Christians are at war, and it seems like it's a war that right now in this country, despite the demographic data and despite the fact that a lot of people would still say this is a Christian country, it feels like a war that I think a lot of believing Christians would say we are currently losing. The war is not lost, but it feels like we're losing. What do you think?
Yeah, so I'm not going to give you the optimistic view. It's not my thing. So I'm going to say we're not only are we losing, but I think in a certain sense you could say it is lost in the sense that progressives set out to accomplish certain goals in the culture, and they have accomplished all of them pretty much at will. So what that means is, you know, there was a certain war being waged over a period of time to make some of these things into accepting, you know, mainstream things, abortion and so on, transgenderism, and they succeeded. You know, they succeeded, and so they won that. So I think what really the job of Christians now and of conservatives is not to say, well, we have to win the culture war. It's really to spark a new war, to start a counteroffensive. The progressives, you know, went on the offensive, and they won. And so now we're the losing side, and now we have to launch a counteroffensive. I think that's kind of the mentality we have to have.
A Christian counteroffensive. Everyone, you can read Matt's latest on theblaze.com. Christians, we're at war. It's time we start acting like it. Author of the Matt Walsh blog, and you should all follow him on Twitter if you're not already doing so. Matt, always appreciate your time. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
The Buck Sexton Show.
The experts at web.com want to build your business a successful website for free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing. Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-215-0465. That's 800-215-0465.